Good afternoon. You're listening to Wavelength on Resonance 104.4 FM. The edges of today's programme might be a bit blurred, as today is a preamble to tomorrow's Day of Rage, Saturday, March the 26th, 2011, when hordes of enragés will storm Parliament and take over the country. My guests this week are space hijackers, who attracted my attention with their action of driving into the City of London in 2009 in a tank dressed as police officers. Now, I welcome Agent Monstrous and Agent Hardcastle.
Hello.
Good afternoon, and thank you very much for coming in.
It's a tight squeeze.
It is indeed. It's a small studio. Yeah. First of all, your names, the agent. Is this you need anonymity?
Not specifically. It started off just as a joke. They were silly names. There's was Agent Batman, who is friends with Agent Robin, exactly, and all sorts. And people coming up with ideas of just switching the letters around in their names to make something else. And it's kind of a joke that we're secret agents and that we go around and we cause sort of
anagrams like Agent Patel Anita.
Yeah, you would never figure out her name from Patel Anita, but
So what's the story behind Monstrous?
It's Latin for monster, and now it's kind of making me feel like a complete sort of public school bastard. But
are you a public school bastard?
Well, my parents did have to pay for education, yes, but I got a scholarship, so that means I'm clever. No, but the idea behind that is because it was a nickname at school, and Monstrous being the Latin for monster.
You had Latin nicknames in your school?
Yes.
Wow, you did go to a posh school.
We had existentialism at 15, you know.
Well, we didn't. We had sort of illegally obtained alcohol and cigarettes.
We did that as well. Yeah.
So when did you become space hijackers? Have you both been in it since the word go?
Oh, God, no. It's been around since 1999 as a kind of joke by Agent Bristly Pioneer. Not a joke, but more of an art project started. And
yeah,
then he just wanted to see if he can get away with doing something. And he did. He formed a little movement and he formed a little group, and suddenly it kind of snowballed and turned into the Space Hijackers.
Right. So who was, well, without naming him or her, I mean, what was the, do we know anything about this person that originated the movement?
Agent Bristly Pioneer.
Bristly Pioneer, yes.
Still very much very active.
Very active. Currently in Australia, so that's quite useful. He won't hear this at the moment.
So you're an international, an international organisation?
No, not at all. He's on holiday.
Okay. So how many are in your, can we call it a, what should we call it, a group or
group,
a class?
I suppose.
Or a collective?
Orgy?
Mob?
Cohort,
yeah,
phalanx.
And is anyone? I was talking to you earlier. Can anyone be excluded for any reason whatsoever?
No. Only if they smell and aren't good looking enough.
No. That's not true.
It is.
Right. Is that the only reason? Yeah, no, I know
it
who you
is.
Mean.
Yeah.
Okay.
We shouldn't say about that.
We can't edit this. You know that, don't you?
I know. We're gonna get in so much trouble.
Oh dear. All right. Okay.
The anarchists are not going to like us anyway.
No, the anarchists don't really like us anyway, because we basically have a little reputation.
Do you?
We do have a slightly bad reputation for either for playing up to the press a bit too much, which I'm sure this will entirely exacerbate.
Such as this.
Yes, so you know, going on radio stations and writing articles for newspapers and appearing in TV programmes.
Oh really?
Yeah,
making TV programmes.
Oh, yeah. We've done all that.
Oh right. Yeah.
So we've kind of got this. I don't know. I don't know how people see us, but maybe it's being a little bit media whorish, and to some extent, we exactly are. We entirely are, and we accept that because it's quite nice to get our message out.
Yeah.
I don't know if
but you require you do sort of. I mean, can I call them stunts or not?
Yeah, some of
the stunts are attention seeking, aren't they?
Exactly, entirely. I mean, the stuff with the Dicey 2007 when we first got this tank and we had to rent another one because we realised we wouldn't, and it was all sorts of trouble. But.
Yeah.
Getting it to happen, but beforehand in the lead up we were doing press conferences, and we got people from Sky News down, we got people from the BBC and from Associated Press come in and listen to us talk at them and be like, we're buying a tank, here's why, this is why we're against the arms fair, and we got to set out our goal, which I think is a much better way to approach the press than just going, we're angry about this, here is my sign. I think you need to lead up and build up to something, even if it is admittedly a big stupid stunt at the end of it. It's still drawing attention to the fact that there's this huge, horrible thing that happens and people don't really know about it.
It was quite audacious. Can we describe this particular event? Because I was quite impressed with this.
We have two. We have two incidents with tanks. I mean, there was one where we had two tanks, and I don't think any other activist group has managed even one.
Where the hell did you get the tank from?
We bought it from bought it from a man in the field in Norfolk, who had a few of them, and used them for stag weekends and whatnot.
Oh, right.
And for hiring, it's like come and drive around in a field in a tank, and he was selling them, and we bought it, and sort of got it put on a low loader, and it had to go off and be inspected by the DVLA, so someone came outside and ticked a box going, yes, it does have six wheels.
Yes, it does weigh 8
So it's roadworthy?
Yeah.
You can drive on the road.
100% roadworthy.
Yeah, it was. We've got rid of it now.
Yeah, kind of.
Okay.
But,
the image of it from you, I assume you have quite an impressive website. It's a good comprehensive website, which is what do we call it?
www.spacehijackers.org.
Yeah. So there's a picture. It's blue, isn't it? The tank.
It's blue now.
It was green.
It was green and black.
Right.
But it got repainted blue to look like some sort of mobile oppression palace.
Yes. We also stuck, I think, 6 fake CCTV cameras on the outside.
Fake cameras, big fake gun.
Yeah,
you know,
a massive, huge big fake gun, which a guy basically, when a certain incident happened...
When we got stopped, and we can talk about this,
Where did you get stopped?
Well, we got stopped on Bishopsgate.
So you drove into... Where did you start from?
This is G20, so...
It's G20 2009. We started on around on Brick Lane in a car park. We parked it the night before... And paid them for overnight parking.
Right. Okay.
And we got in the tank. We drove around the corner, got onto Bishopsgate, and I look behind me, and suddenly there's sort of 3 riot vans full of police following us with lights and sirens on, going, "We'd quite like you to pull over, please, sir."
Right.
And so I shout to the guy.
Were you driving?
No, I wasn't driving. I was sat at the top, out of the turret, kind of going.
Yeah.
You know, looking around, making sure we're not squashing any people on bicycles or cars or policemen.
Yeah.
And they came and shouted at us to pull over, so we pretended we couldn't hear them for a little bit because it's quite loud.
It's a very loud tank.
And then they came in front of us and made us stop, so we pulled over in front
over.
Of RBS, which was quite a good idea, retrospectively.
Yeah. Right,
But
when the chap came over to actually inspect the said weapon, he goes up, "Yep, no, it's a plastic tube with holes in it."
Yeah, plastic tube and deodorant can lid is what it was, not actually a firearm.
Right,
but,
okay.
Yeah, it's a silly story.
Well, no,
it's not a silly story.
No, it's an audacious stunt, which must have attracted a certain amount of attention.
It was the first thing that actually happened at the G20.
Yeah, it got quickly buried by everything else that happened that day.
Yes.
Considering
I had to bury somebody at the end of the day. But,
Yeah.
Oh,
yes. And...
Boom. But are most of your activities aimed at publicity?
No.
Not really. Okay.
Well, sometimes they're aimed at bad publicity, but not... To us, there's a great thing. Clarion Events, who run the Arms Fair, and I talk about the Arms Fair a lot. We're not a single issue group, obviously, but it's another example.
It's a bugbear of ours.
But it annoys us that it happens.
Yeah.
So they also hold a number of events in the East End and in the West End, rather, at Earl's Court,
including the baby show.
Yeah, the baby show and the Spirit of Christmas Fair. So we went outside and tried to publicise on behalf of them and say, look, if you're interested in coming to the baby show, you're interested in coming to one of our arms fairs. You know,
right.
We also hold the world's largest weapons fair. You know, if you'd like to get some landmines or some, you know, cluster munitions or any of the latest personal defence technology, you can get it for your child.
Yeah.
And sort of winding up young mothers and whatnot.
Yeah.
And basically pointing out that Clarion Events are a bunch of
evil
so and so's.
Evil so and so's, yes.
Yeah.
But it's. And then, there are other things just sort of...
I mean, they're not also...
Not
and there are lots of things that we have done that we don't tend to publicise at all. And you know, those do tend to fall under the realm of various other forms of artwork.
Do you consider yourselves as artists working in politics? Or,
it depends. We're definitely political
artists. You seem to have
some people have considered us as artists because we've been asked to do galleries, which find is funny.
Yes.
It's like, ah.
Yeah. But you didn't set out as artists?
No.
I
think the way to describe it is, the way we've been described, which is nice, which I liked, was someone saying, it's the people who go to the pub and get drunk and come up with ideas, but then the next morning they actually go and do them, rather than just leave them fall by the wayside. There are a number of ideas that we've never done, because we've come up with when quite merry, because they are either stupid, ridiculous, we will all get arrested, or it just does serve no purpose. Like, get our gold was an idea, because it says, oh, on the back of £10 note, I promise to pay the bearer on demand the sum of £10 on £10 note. We thought, go to the Bank of England, demand gold. Next morning, realised, oh, we're not actually on the gold standard anymore, so it doesn't matter at all. But at the time, it seemed like a very good idea.
It made sense.
Yeah. And did you get many participants to join in this?
Well, no, we did the night before, but in the morning when we realised that the whole thing was fundamentally flawed, we decided we never did it.
Although closing down sale was rather good.
Closing down sale was when the financial crisis hit and really started to pound in and banks were getting bailed out. We decided to put a sign up on the outside of the Bank of England saying closing down everything, everything must go.
Oh, that's a good one.
Bank of England security, quick as bunnies.
Oh, 3.5 minutes.
They've got a really quick response time. You know.
Anyone out there? 3.5 minutes. Yeah.
So how far did you get?
We got to around the corner before we were stopped by the police. But
we were quite drunk.
An idea. We had a meeting, and meetings tend to be sort of yeast logic powered.
And then we tend to do a lot of things after the meeting.
And then we go out and do things that we regret in the mornings afterwards.
Yeah.
Right.
But
the manifesto that you've written, which is available from the website.
Sort of, very old.
Is it?
It was also written while drunk, but yes.
But there's a lot of emphasis on architecture and space.
Yeah.
Anyone reading it might think that you actually had started out as architects in a way, because it's there's a lot of conversation talk about buildings, architecture,
and about
appropriating space, doing things with, trying to change the way that people think about space.
Well, that's something we've been about for.
The word we've got for it is anarchitecture, which is sort of kind of meshing the words anarchism and architecture, and it is about rethinking how urban planning and the corporatization of urban planning has actually daily effects on people's lives. One of our favorite sort of actions is something called the no-no-no.
No-no-no is a new thing we've been doing. We did last year, and we've got better equipment for this year to go and do again. And no-no-no is essentially a big sign. That comes up and is sort of, hello, you're about to enter private property, because a lot of land in London is privately
owned.
Like City Hall, which is in More London, which is registered in the Bahamas or somewhere. Yeah,
well, no, but you basically have a lot of land which looks on the surface to be public land, and people wander around quite oblivious to the fact that what they're walking on is actually private corporate land. And if they dared try to do anything else other than, let's say, shop or be there for any sort of permitted action, private security will come in and try to take them off. So there have been certain incidents where we turn up with the no-no-no board. So it says, you know, no laughing, no smiling, no skateboarding, no kissing, no OAPs, no small children, no breathing.
And, no fun, no way, no how.
Yes, and have a nice day. Yeah. And big signs like that, and we'd stand there like sort of, I don't know, five man,
faux security
faux Gestapo.
Guards.
Faux Gestapo. And tell people sort of, stop. Stop that breathing.
Stop running, stop playing, stop having fun.
Don't look at me. And then the real security can actually come out and say, excuse me, you can't do this. And so we give a bit of detournement and, that was wanky. Right?
Yeah, sorry.
And but it was a bit of a detournement. And we then sort of pretend to be their security people saying, so sorry, what gives you the authority to be here? Sorry, you're loitering. What are you doing here? And like, we're calling the police. No, we're calling the police.
They don't like it when you do the same, when you repeat their lines.
No.
Back to them.
Well, didn't you dress as police officers with the tag?
Never.
No. No. We were arrested for dressing as police officers, but we weren't actually dressed as police officers.
Yeah, right.
We were wearing blue boiler suits.
And
we had some riot helmets without the word police on, with the word riot on them. It was all very like, don't take pictures of us. It was a kind of Judge Dredd style ridiculousness.
Right. Yeah.
And we had Ride of the Valkyries blaring out a sound system as we were bowling down in an armoured personnel carrier.
But the arrest has sort of obscured the facts a little bit.
Yeah.
And people go, you pretended to be police. Like, No, we didn't.
Right.
We never did that.
All right. And
sorry.
So, no, that's all right.
Never.
Well, I was going to say, do you think there are any precedents for your activities, such as Fluxus or Situationists?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's exactly where
are you sort of schooled in that kind of activity?
Schooled in the sense of fandom, I'd say. I mean, I'm a massive, massive fan of Dada and a huge, huge fan of Hugo Ball, Tristan Zara, sort of incidental poetry. I mean, I'm an absolutely huge fan of that. And also, obviously, I think we all have taken things from the Situationists. Even our HQ is outside one of the original churches. with the situation, had their own photograph taken, and so we did a mock-up photo of us.
Did we? When did we do that?
That was years ago.
I wasn't there for that.
Could I? Your HQ. You have an HQ.
We have a secret.
A secret. I was going to ask you. This sounds intriguing.
It used to be we'd meet in a pub. But we realised not very much got done that way.
We've got our top secret office.
Yeah, there's a hijacker office.
And you buy tanks. This is a well-funded anarchist group.
Not really, not at all.
not in any way.
We're all very grateful to the banking industry for allowing us these generous overdrafts with which we buy. With which we buy materials to corrupt their systems.
So you're ready for personal bankruptcy then?
I think I'm almost living it.
Okay.
I do it with every project, so yeah.
Well, so where should we get... What's happening tomorrow?
Tomorrow we have...
Do you have a plan for tomorrow? Are you joining in?
If you follow our esteemed comrade and the leader of the anarchists, Christopher Knight, leader of the anarchists,
yes,
Christopher Knight.
Leader of the anarchists.
He is the leader of the anarchists.
Apparently so, according to The Sun. Yeah. He's in charge.
Yeah.
They published an amazing article about him when he was going on about how he wanted to occupy police stations and a barracks in central London before tomorrow or today, depending on when this is broadcast.
Yeah. Right.
The 26th, let's say it that way.
Yes.
And he was described as sort of anarchist leader, Chris Knight. And it's like, hang on, they've not got the whole principle of anarchy.
I was going to say,
how can he be the leader of the anarchists?
Leader of the anarchists. He's got a lovely bunny, it's okay. But what we have is something called, and because look, there have been a lot of...
Because we're childish, basically.
Because we are very, very childish. We are space hijackers are going to help you masturbate in public.
Yes.
Yes.
We're going to be holding a series of debates. Come and join us. Come debate in public. Get things off your chest. Talk about issues.
Wipe it off. Yes.
Yes. So yeah, you'll be able to see us because we've got a large pink sort of erection that unfolds and like sign that turns up and you can
that
come
says
in.
Masturbate.
It says masturbate here now. You know, come join us. And it's.
And where will this take place?
The onus behind this, it's mobile.
Sure.
It's fairly mobile. So
if you see a big pink like tower,
it's us.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you see the Conservative Party.
If you see something fairly phallic,
It's us or Tories.
It's us or Tories. but we tend to arrive to things fairly suited and booted. The idea behind masturbate is essentially to take whatever actions are happening, let's say with regards to UK Uncut, with regards to other sort of groups that we also tend to collaborate with.
Do you?
We're branching into that because you can't really be terribly isolationist anymore, I think, because there is such a movement.
We tried that and it didn't work.
No, yeah. It just got boring. And it's much more fun playing with other people. I love playing with other people.
Stop now.
Oh, masturbate. Yes, and...
Get back on message.
Back on message. But it's to set up a talking shop, so a bit of a talkie-okie. So the main issues are as to, you know, why there's already a pre-existing action. You know what the action's about. So the people who are walking past, coming to join it, coming to slag it off, or anyone else who walks in and out of it, you just say, hey, come here, let's have a talk about these issues. This is about globalization. This is about the banks. This is about this. So you have a whole series of people suddenly just discussing things. And that's essentially what we want. We want an exchange of ideas, we want an exchange of radical ideas particularly, and also just a way for people to get things off their chest, to feel like they actually are doing something learning something.
Right.
Because when you actually see an action, sometimes you just walk past going like, what the hell's that?
Yes.
And it's nice for people to say, actually, this is what it's all about. Do you agree?
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah.
You know, should there be a Robin Hood tax on this? Should there be that? So it's a wonderful sort of way for people to actually interact.
It's the big society. It's us talking to people. If we want to steal what the Conservatives say we should do, we should apparently have a big society. So we decided to ask people whether they want banks to have a bank levy and if they want them to be able to avoid paying tax. And it turns out people don't. So that's the conclusion of the big society, is that the government is wrong. So we thought we'd do our bit to help them by getting people to talk about things. Basically, come and talk about things and make your mind up. And if you haven't made your mind up, hopefully we'll help you decide.
So we shall be masturbating up and down central London.
Public? You will?
Public masturbation, yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Can we count on this?
Yeah. Well, we will definitely be masturbating up and down all over London.
Okay. Okay. Wow, I was wondering how long you'd take that.
If I look at the website, it says, yes, we look just like you. All of the views and actions contained within it are completely ludicrous, and we actually believe the opposite.
Yes.
So you are contrarians.
Yes.
Yes.
We're slightly curmudgeonly as a group, I think. Yeah. Or yes.
And does this mean that actually...
No,
it's the opposite. You won't be doing what you've just
said. We have a slightly shambolic organisational structure in the sense that there isn't really one.
No, no one's really in charge.
We don't do wavy hand
meetings.
Things you can't do on the radio.
Yes, I know I'm doing a visual gesture, but yes. I'm doing another one now.
Yeah?
But they'll never know what it is.
Done.
So, but
please.
Yeah, it's a very, like, our meetings rely a lot on shouting and drinking and. And just kind of, yeah, it's a bit obscene sometimes, and the whole disclaimer on the front of the website, I think, is just entirely
a big joke,
and it's big tongue in cheek.
A lot of things we do are very tongue in cheek,
and the way we talk about doing things is very tongue in cheek. So
what is it? What is the is there a constructive aspect to it? What do you think is the outcome?
I mean, we are deadly serious.
You are.
Yeah, we're deadly serious about all.
You're
the
serious jokers.
Yeah.
I mean, the arms trade is a very serious thing. I mean, the mass slaughter and killing of people with regards to billions and billions of pounds that could be going into public services is very serious.
Yeah.
It's something that touches
but,
us quite
but
deeply.
But do you think that your method of activity, your kind of activity of stunts and humour, is that an effective antidote or remedy to...
I think so. You can't be serious all the time.
No, it's about
relating. It would be very boring if everyone was very deadly serious about all of these issues. And it's, some of the stuff is horrible, but it's... I don't know, I don't want to use the crap Frankie Boyle sort of comedy. Oh, if you can't joke about it, then you can't do... No, that's not the whole point. But we do try and...
No, no, but the idea about
poke
it
fun
is,
at authority.
Yeah, we also poke fun at authority, but also poke fun at other activists as well. I mean, I think that doesn't really gain us too many friends, but it just means that... You know, you can't always be sitting there, you know, reading Derrida and also taking Noam Chomsky very, very seriously and taking, you know, Richard Seymour and everything else and getting very, very serious about things.
Can't take Chomsky seriously.
Well, I don't know. He's quite cute. But anyway, no.
Like a cuddly old bear.
He's a gnome. Yes, Mark Vallée is a bear, not Chomsky. Anyway.
Hi, Alex. Hi, Mark.
Hello.
Sorry.
you always have to... be able to couch very, very serious messages, I think, in much more palatable ways, because people aren't really going to sit there and respond to you if you're going to shout at them and scream at them and de-lock yourself to a window or you know, super glue yourself to whatever. I mean, they might. It'll get some attention, but generally it'll just piss a lot of people off. But if they've got something they can actually sit back and laugh at, there's a man in a dress, you know, it's things of that nature.
Yeah.
It's a good way of kind of relating to people through humour. And cricket's amazing.
Midnight cricket.
Midnight cricket's amazing, because what we do is we basically go to a pub, again, involves alcohol, but we dress in full cricket whites, but generally it's a pub in the city.
Go to a city boys pub.
Yeah.
And challenge them to cricket.
Yeah,
the
midnight.
Anarchist versus the capitalist at midnight.
Right.
On any sort of open public square that we can find. One of which was destroyed, the one outside what used to be the Aviva building, or is possibly where Aviva are based.
But presumably the predictable outcome is that the police come and...
No.
And, no?
No.
Well, no, this
well
is the
occasionally
thing.
The police turn up, and they have... A couple of times they've come and they've sort of sat and watched us and gone, well, they're just playing cricket.
Mm.
Where's the harm in that? No, we're not using a cricket ball, we're using a tennis ball, because we're not going to smash up the windows.
Yeah.
Because that's what the 26 is.
I mean, the other thing is we also have the bankers that we're playing with. Not only are we able to actually play with them and have a good laugh, have a drink, and talk about cricket and talk about other things.
Explain why they're wrong.
No, hang on. Shut up for a moment. And we're actually able to have discussions with them about the issues, saying, "Okay, so you're a banker. You've come from this background. Well, I'm this. You know, this is what I do in my day job, and this is what I come from." And then you start having this discourse, and they go, "Oh yeah, I can see where you're coming from. And I can see where you're coming from." So you're actually you're touching and you're reaching people that you don't reach by just screaming at them,
right.
And you're touching and reaching people you don't reach just by sort of chanting logos or chanting slogans at and people who just otherwise look at you as kind of people that really ought to get jobs. They don't realise that you all of us have jobs of some description.
Yeah.
And we're all fairly professional people. And they just go, but you do this, but you're an anarchist?
Actually, I don't think there are any hijackers who don't have jobs now. I think we're all, there's no
students. I think we're all gainfully employed.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's worrying.
I know. We're all getting very old.
Who's going to get fired next?
But one of the great things about this is there was one incident where we were playing cricket and the police did come up saying, excuse me, what's going on? And the bankers stood up for us. And they sort of said, no, sorry, hi, we're having... Oh, right, you're playing... Oh, well, I'll see you later.
Yeah.
You know, and that was lovely. You know,
right.
It's actually really, really a really good way of actually having a proper discourse. And that's how you feel you can actually really, really reach people, is if you can reach people at the level at which they should be reached.
Right.
You know?
Or take advantage of them while they're drunk to call them naughty names.
Yes, that's you.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you are actively enrolling people as agents, I think, for your organisation.
Oh, yes.
Can I call it that?
Yes.
So anyone wanting to be an agent can go to your website.
Yeah, and click
spacehijackers.org.
Follow us on Twitter as well as at spacehijackers.
Yes, yeah. All right. Well, thank you very much for coming on and talking about space hijackers, and hope to see you tomorrow on the streets.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Masturbating, apparently.
There's also
Hopefully
something
we
else.
Haven't ruined everything, but yes.